Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. Today is Wednesday, and we are making our way through the season after Epiphany. In this season, we hear about the start of Jesus' ministry as we follow him from his baptism until his transfiguration, when he turns to make his way to the cross. We begin our time of prayer this morning in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it. In your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not made with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery, which God decreed before the ages for our glory, in which none of the rulers of this age understood, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they themselves are subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord, so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you were to share the good news about Jesus with someone who is not a believer, where would you start? If you were called on to share a short message about what you believe and why you believe in Jesus, would you be nervous, maybe even trembling? Would you feel the pressure of having to be both eloquent and persuasive in your words so that people would both respect you and the message that you share? When Paul came to the city of Corinth, it seems he felt all of this, all of these pressures, fears, and questions swirling around in his head. And Paul wasn't the only one in that city or in the empire who had a message to share. There were also traveling around various schools of wisdom, philosophy, whose teachers were seeking disciples and students to follow their way of life. There were various religions or sects that promised to connect people with the deep mysteries and secrets of the universe, or to open the doors to prosperity and abundant blessings. And there were even other followers of Jesus with their own way of leading people to God. Paul, however, says that he decided that the message that he would share would be the message of the cross. He would speak only of Jesus. He would be direct. He would speak plainly. He would tell what happened on Good Friday and Easter and Ascension and a Pentecost. And he would lean into its shame and trust that the Spirit of God would be at work through the gospel to call people to faith. He decided to focus his message on Jesus alone and on Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come as judge and to reign as ruler. When we think about it, this is truly a Spirit-inspired message, a simple witness to the events of those days, the vindication of Jesus' resurrection, the proof that he was God's Messiah and anointed one, the promise of a new and enduring life now in fellowship and peace with our Creator God. When Paul shared his message, it was not a TED Talk style presentation. It sounds like he stuttered and stammered and trembled as he spoke the simple story and made a simple invitation to trust his word about Jesus. Yet Paul says that the Spirit was present, confirming his message with power, a power that stood in such contrast to Paul's weakness that there was no doubt that this is the Spirit of God at work. And that is the point that Paul has been trying to make from the beginning of this letter. The goal is not to become a disciple of Paul, or to be caught up into a cult of Paul, or to be enthralled by the eloquence of Paul's logic. It's not to follow this philosophy or that philosophy, this way of being or that way of being. It is simply to believe in Jesus, and to trust that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have received forgiveness, life, and salvation, that we have been given a place in God's kingdom, fellowship among God's people, that the relationship between God and human beings and this whole creation has now been set right. The goal of sharing the gospel is not for the praise of the presenter, but to lead someone into worship of God in Christ. Now, the message of the cross is simple, and in some ways it's embarrassing, and it appears foolish to those who are outside of the faith, but to those of us who have come to believe, there's a deep wisdom in these events that reveal the very heart of God, as well as God's plans and purposes for the world. Once again, faith and love for God come first. Then, in the Spirit, learning and wisdom and the knowledge of the things of God and the ways of God come as we grow and mature in our faith and in our love for God. And this is why study and prayer are such an important part of the Christian life. We grow in our faith and our love for God. We learn the things of God as we grow closer to God in the fellowship of the Spirit. This is how faith matures, and we learn the wisdom of God from its source, the revelation of the cross, and in the cross of Christ, our Lord, who died and rose again according to Scripture. As we learn from Scripture, to have the mind of Christ. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And you, child, shall be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our way into the feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationships with others. For who else, for what else are we thankful this morning? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all. In Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for those who govern the nations of the world, for people in countries ravaged by strife or warfare, for all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. For who else and for what else do we pray today? We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all harm and danger. We ask that you would also protect us today from sin and all evil, so that our life and our actions may please you. Into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our soul, and all that is ours. Let your holy angels be with us, so that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.